getting ready to do.
Last night at prayer service, as I was praying, and I pray for my husband a lot, a whole lot. He needs it. A lot of people agreeing on that in here. But I was praying for him at the keyboard, and people were just praying. And as I prayed for him, a prayer just came out of me. And I felt like the Lord said, pray that tomorrow before he preaches. Now, I forgot it in the first service. But what's amazing is that he prayed almost exactly the same prayer. I sat there at my seat going, God, you're so good. I forgot to do this, but he prayed it. So just close your eyes as we pray before he preaches. I won't pray the same I did last night. I don't really even remember, but that doesn't matter. Amen. Lord, I thank you for the anointing that is on Eric, called by God, Lord, to share your word. And God, I just pray that as he speaks now, Lord, that we all listening, God, would not hear his voice, but the Spirit of God would talk to us and speak to us. It may sound weird and seem weird to people, but Lord, your Spirit has a way of touching our heart where no man can go. So God, I pray that our ears will be listening, Lord, as we read your word, as we hear the scriptures. God, that you'll be lovingly showing us and correcting us. And Lord, that we won't hear the voice of a man, but God, we will hear you. Because Lord, you're the only one. It's your word that sets us free. Lord, not a man's word. Lord, it's your word, God, that instructs us with how to live life. It's your word, Lord, that we are to hear and also to obey. So Lord, as we listen today, God, we listen for you and what you want to tell us today. God, use Eric as your mouthpiece. Use him, Lord, to teach, Lord, what you have deposited into him. Lord, may he say only what you want said today, nothing more, nothing less. And Lord, as he speaks, God, I pray that you will download things into his heart and mind, God, that he is to share. And Lord, let him that has ears to hear what the Spirit would say today. Amen.
Amen. It's good to have you in the house of the Lord. Happy Valentine's Day. You do realize that people in the North are laughing at us, right? This kept half of our congregation away from church today. I can't believe you still see the parking lot all over the place. It's amazing. If this was Monday morning, how many people would go to work? But church is optional. One day, we'll understand how important church is. We will really see it. Amen. I want to talk to you today out of 1 John chapter 3. We'll look at verse 16 through verse 18. The title of the sermon is, They Will Know We Are Christians. They will know that we are Christians. Verse 16 says, By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has this world's good and see his brothers in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are his truth, and we assure our hearts before him. Father God, we just come before you right now, and I thank you, Lord, for your word. God, I thank you, Lord, when your word makes me shout, when it makes me cry, and Lord, when it convicts my heart to the very essence of my being. God, I thank you, Lord, that you put roadblocks up in our life, Lord, because you love us. Lord, you will not allow us to go down, Lord, that road of destruction without you trying to interrupt us, without you trying to stop us. So God, thank you for convicting my heart. Thank you, Lord, when I read your word and I have to drop my head and drop to my knees and repent. God, those are such positive things. I am thankful, Lord, that your word has challenged me. Your word has taught me and is teaching me. Oftentimes, your word corrects me, Father. God, I thank you for that. And I pray today that your word, through my lips, will do all of the above. God, I ask, Lord, that our ears would be anointed to hear your word, not a man's word, but to hear your word, Father. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In this very small portion of scripture, I just pulled out like four little principles, and I'm not staying here long at all. But the first thing I see is Jesus is our example. Folks, when you think about love, don't think about a movie star. Think about Jesus Christ, because that is the picture of love. Think about God. God gave us his son. That shows his love. Love is a sacrifice. He gives. Your wife is not just looking to hear your words. She's wanting to see your actions. The people you work with, the people that you declare your love to, are not just listening, they're watching. They want to see if you really believe this. Love is an action word. Love proves itself by what you do. And Jesus is the example of that. Last week we talked to you about Ezra, and there was a portion of scripture, one verse that just really sort of rocked my world. And it said, we know that he was a scribe, but it said that he prepared his heart to seek the Lord. I pray that you do that. I pray that every one of us prepare our heart. You know, on your way to church, you ought to be preparing your heart. Do you realize God has something in store for you today? But you could miss it. Have you ever got irritated in church? Can we just confess? Maybe you got mad at your spouse. Maybe you got mad at somebody. Maybe you got mad at Tree because she sang that same old song over. And you know what? We'll let little things like that, we'll let Satan steal the whole joy of the service over one little thing. Sometimes it's just what I say. I'm amazed that sometimes people will come up and they won't have heard anything in the sermon except one little thing. I know it's because I preach such short sermons, but they just pick out one little thing and they're ready to fight on that. Don't miss what God has prepared for you today. You didn't come by accident. You braved this weather to get to church. God bless you. I hope your sleighs don't get stuck as you go home. The Bible says that he prepared his heart to seek the Lord, but it wasn't just for knowledge's sake. It says to do it. So the only reason I'm bringing this back up today in this sermon, I'm not a topical sermon. I usually preach through the word, you know. But today, because of Valentine's Day hit on a Sunday, I thought this is the Sunday I should preach on love. It's good to talk about love once in a while, because love really is what Christianity is all about. Amen. Thank you. Somebody was listening. Seek the word to do it. And then he said, and to teach it. He wanted not only to know it, he wanted to do it and to teach it. I ran across this statement this week, and I thought it was so good. I've heard similar statements, but I just thought this one said it really well. It says, the mind is the portal to the soul, and what we fill our mind with will shape the trajectory of our character. In the end, your life is no more than the sum of what you have given your attention to. Your life is the sum total of your thoughts. Think on these things, right? You know, I think it's interesting. If you want to study love, who do you go to? You go to John's gospel. You go to John's writings. Always. First, second, third John, Gospel of John. It's all about love, right? You see, you guys have heard the word paradigm, right? You know what a paradigm is. It's the way you see things. I had such a clear lesson on that when I was a kid. And when I was a kid, I was in my 30s. That shows your age right there when you start calling 30-year-olds kids. I watched a film on cards. And they were going through cards real fast and shuffling. But you could see every once in a while, you could see these cards. And now, I didn't grow up with cards because cards was from the devil. Back in the 60s and 70s. If you were Pentecost, cards were from the devil. And so after they showed this 7-8 minute clip, they asked a question and they pulled over a card and they said, how many saw this red club? And I raised my hand. And there was about a room, about 200 people, 250 maybe. There were like four of us that saw a red club. And the guy said, did you really, he was talking to me, he said, did you really see that? And I said, yeah, I saw it. And he said, you don't play cards, do you? And I said, no, sir, I never have. And he said, that's because there are no red clubs. He said, the only people that could see that red club is the ones that didn't know that all clubs were black. Because that's your paradigm. You see, we process things through our minds by the way we've been brought up. See, John wrote everything through the paradigm of love. I love Ray Anderson. Ray Anderson, to me, is the closest thing to Apostle John that I've ever seen in my life. I love teaching with him on Wednesday night. About 75% of the time when we're talking about Scripture and he gets a chance to talk, and that is limited, he will take whatever topic we are talking about and he runs it back through love. Because that's his paradigm. You know what my paradigm is? And I don't say this proud. My paradigm is legalism. You know why? Because I was brought up Pentecostal. I was brought up that everything except for eating is a sin. I'm serious. Wearing your hair the wrong way. Women couldn't wear dresses or jewelry or makeup. Or pants, I'm sorry. They could wear dresses, thank God. It would have been a different kind of church if it couldn't wear dresses or pants. It's a different religion altogether, isn't it? But everything, see, we were hammered on the Old Testament law. Bop, 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 bop. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. Nobody ever told us what was right. We were always told what not to do. We was not told what to do. So my paradigm as an adult, it goes through the law first. But not Ray. Ray's runs through the law of love. And I'm going to tell you, Ray challenges me. And it should you too. You know, everything we learn in this word, let it go through love and grace. Because if it's not being channeled through love and grace, we're probably seeing it wrong. Because the word of God towards us, we were yet sinners when he loved us. You didn't deserve it. I tell you, I see my insignificance in this life. I don't know about you, but I see myself as insignificant oftentimes. Why do you think I talk to you about insignificance so much? Because that's something I've been through. But God sees me as significant. God sees the purpose and the plan that he had for me. Not the failure that I see when I look in the mirror. He sees the purpose. He sees the guy on his destiny. I'm so thankful that he teaches us love. If you are getting your definition of love in any other book than this book, you've got the wrong definition. We, in the American language, the English language, we can't even come up with enough words for love. Therefore, we say things like, oh, I love hamburgers, and bless God, I do. And I love my wife. Now, don't you know that makes my wife feel special when I say that in the same sentence? The Greeks would never say that. In the world, if you watch TV, if a beautiful woman walks in and she's about halfway naked, the guy in the room is going to say, I think I just fell in love. No, you didn't. You just fell in lust. And we have a hard time deciphering that. Having lived in Murray for a long time, we got to know a lot of students when our kids were going to college. And they'd bring home kids. They loved to bring home the international students. So we met kids from Saudi Arabia. We met kids from India, a lot of different places. And it was the kid from India that I really enjoyed talking to, because in his world, they still had arranged marriages. And I said, are you kidding me? Now, wouldn't you like it If you come home and Michael said, I picked out your husband today. Here he is. I'm telling you, Westerners would say, no way, you're not picking my husband out. And so I talked to this young man. I said, I don't see it. And he said, well, you guys say you fall in love. And he said, when you fall in love, it seems like you fall out of love pretty easy too. He said, we have arranged marriages and we choose to love. I thought, oh my. So we're going to start a new custom in this church. All you single folks, I'm going to choose your no. I think the Lord knew that we were going to have difficulty with love. Because that's why I think he wrote in his word, I'm going to put my spirit in you, and the fruit of my spirit is love. And he gives 9 words for the fruit of the spirit. But you got to see that when he's talking about it, he says fruit and not fruits. It's singular. So I believe this. I believe the fruit of the Spirit is love. I believe these other words describe love. And see, that's where I think sometimes we mess it up. Because we think love is the characteristics. We think love is joy and love is peace and love is happiness and love is all these emotions. No. Love's a choice. I choose to love. And therefore, if I choose to love, it means good days or bad days, no matter how I feel, I'm still going to love you. Right? Because that's God's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. In other words, there's no law written against love. There's no law written against joy. There's no law written against having patience with people. There's no law in being too good. Larry, we're going to arrest you if you keep doing goodness. Right? There's no law against that. That's good things. It says, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified their sinful nature and its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So once in a while, you step out of the Spirit of God, you step into your flesh, and you start to fight. Don't you? Okay. You know we have over 200 churches in Paris, right? Do you think God created 200 churches in Paris? No. You know what created 200 churches in Paris? Stepping out of love, stepping into the flesh. You made me mad. I'll just start my own church. Bless God. Don't you want to go to that one? You know, I heard this statement years ago and it just agreed with me. I want a church that was created with vision, not division. I want you to know this church was started with a vision, not a division. We're not out of any other body. It was started with vision because God brought it. So the Greeks have 4 words, and you guys, I'm sure you know these, but they had 4 words that we all transcribe as love. The first word is eros, and that's a romantic, we get our word erotic from it. It's a sexual type love. It's really where Hollywood stops. Then we get the word storge. It's a word that people have towards their children. It's a parent-child type of love. It's a great love. Then we have philia, which is a brotherly love, where we get the word Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. That's where that comes from that Greek word. It's a brotherly love. It's part of the love that we should have in the body of Christ. It's part of the love that we have at work. We're not in love with them people, but we're loving them people, right? Brotherly type of love. But then there's a word that every time it talks about the love of God, it uses the same word, and it's the word agape. And it's an unconditional love. I think the very closest we ever get to that is as parents. Many of us have had children that have made really, really bad decisions. And as parents, we know, since we're 20 years older, we oftentimes know if they keep doing that, that is not going to lead to something wholesome and something good. And you see your children choosing, and possibly your children really start going down the wrong road, And man, it grieves you in your heart. But you know one thing that you don't stop doing? You don't stop loving them. Even if they do some of the most heinous crimes in the world, there's a mama out there somewhere that loves that murderer. And we have a hard time wrapping our mind around it because all we see is his actions, but that mama sees her son. That's an unconditional love. That's a love that God has placed in you. I don't think we can do it in ourselves. I really don't. I think it takes God. And when we start seeing things through that paradigm, we'll start seeing things the way God sees them. Isn't that amazing? Again, I say, I was raised up legalistic. I was raised up with grace that thick. I mean, we didn't have grace in the church at all. I can remember as a little kid, if I had a bad thought, I was repenting that night where I would go to heaven. I thought, dear Lord, I had a bad thought today, and if I die, I'm probably going to go to hell. It's the way I was raised. Really? Doesn't that sound ridiculous to you? You mean God's love is only that thick? No. God really loves us. You know, in Psalms 139, the psalmist is asking how much he loves us. And he said, God, your thoughts towards mankind are more numerous than the sand. And his thoughts are always thoughts of good thoughts for us. God loves us. And on this Valentine's Day, I hope that if you're sitting there beside your lover, your spouse, your best friend, I hope this challenges you. I hope it challenges you that are single to make sure that you choose wisely. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're studying 1 Corinthians on Wednesday nights, and that's probably the most messed up church I've ever read about in my life. I mean, it seems like they got everything wrong, and I'm so thankful they did. Because if they'd got it right, we would not have that letter. But because they got everything wrong, Paul had to write them a letter of correction. And in right in the middle of writing about the gifts of the Spirit, chapter 12 is on the gifts, chapter 14 is on the gifts. Right in the middle, he puts chapter 13 and he talks about love. Why? Because you can be the most gifted person in the church. You can speak in tongues, you can give the biggest offering. But if you don't have love, you're just a sounding cymbal. Bong, bong. You make a lot of noise, but you produce very little fruit. It's always challenged me. I'm not going to read this portion of Scripture, but I want to give you their 16 traits to love. And one of these will convict your heart, I promise you. 15 of them convicted me. 16 convicted Treva. No. It said, love is patient. First three words got me. You know, when I think about you guys, I don't have trouble loving you. By and large, we think alike. We're a whole lot alike. But there's people in Congress, I've had to quit watching the news. You know why? Because I kept stepping out of love. It just wasn't producing a good fruit in me. It's easier for me to pray for those that are on the opposite aisle if I just don't listen to them. That's just where I'm at in my love walk, okay? I'll just confess it. I'm not real patient, but I'm working on it, and I do pray for it because I believe patience is very valuable. It says love is patient and love is kind. You know, I noticed something about Methodist ministers years ago. They were kind. You know, the most talented preacher that I ever saw preach, man, this guy could preach the Word of God. His truths that came out of his mouth were so deep. You know, there was only one problem. He was mean. Seriously. He knew the Word of God, but he was mean. Right in the middle of your service, if he saw you doing something, he just called you out. You need to be quiet. dear Jesus, you need to walk in love. I mean, he knew the Word of God. He could preach the Word of God. But boy, you know why? Because his dad was a pastor. And his dad got really, really hurt. And it affected his walk with God. His paradigm shifted. You get it? Do you really get it? Love is kind. So when you're unkind, evaluate yourself. When harsh words are coming out of your mouth, whether it's to your spouse or to your children, to the people you work with, when you're becoming unkind, you ought to say, is this what Jesus really would want me to do and be? Love doesn't envy. If Shannon gets a new car, I'll not say, why'd you get a new car? I didn't get a new car. I ought to say, God, thank you for blessing my sister. I've seen her struggle, and I'm so happy she's got a new car. That's love. Love's not boastful. When you talk to people and they constantly say, I did this and I did that, and you know, you should look at this. I did. We got a problem. They got a problem. Love's not proud. Love's not rude. Disregard for other people's feelings. Love does not seek its own. You ever heard the word joy? You ever heard it broke down? The acronym, Jesus, others, you. That's true joy when you have the right perspective. Jesus is first. Others is before you. Right? Doesn't seek its own. Love's not easily angered. I got married when I was 19. I had to learn that lesson. It's not easily irritated. In other words, love chooses to be quiet sometimes. Love doesn't keep a record of wrong. I wish somebody had told that to my mama when I was growing up. See, she didn't spank me often. But when she spanked me, she'd start like this. 6 months ago, you did this. And I thought, oh, dear Lord, we're going back 6 months. She's going to kill me. And she almost did. I remember telling her one time, you keeping a record of wrong, Mom. We've probably all been guilty of that. Once in a while, you might find yourself in a disagreement with your spouse. That happens occasionally in your home, doesn't it? When words such as this comes out, you got a problem. A few months ago, you said this about me. Last week, you did this. Well, you never do this right. You always do this. Who's keeping a record of my wrongdoing? Come on. Convicted yet? If you're not convicted yet, I'm going to start making things up. The Word of God does enough, doesn't it? Love does not, those were the negative things. Now it begins to tell you what it does. Love rejoices in truth. And that's not truth of what you heard on somebody. That's not gossip. That's not you coming up saying, you know what Keith is really like. That doesn't rejoice. Love rejoices in the truth of the Word of God. When Cindy comes to me and says, God showed me this in the Word. It has changed my life. Love rejoices. Hallelujah. She got that revelation. Right? Love rejoices when you come and say, my husband's been so good to me. I've got the best wife in the world. Love rejoices with that. It's not jealous. Love does protect. You ever seen a little bitty woman come out like a grizzly bear when her kids get hurt? Yeah, we all have grizzly inside of us, right? My spiritual father says, there's grizzly inside of me and there's teddy inside of me. You don't want to see grizzly. That's in all of us, right? Why? Because God put his nature in us. Daddies, you want to protect your kids. You want to protect your spouse. Love does always trust. I said something the other night when I was teaching the guys. I love Roy. Roy's just a precious brother to me. And so you are not going to score points with me if you come up and try to gossip about Roy. I'm going to shut you down because I don't want to know it. I don't want to hear it because it's somebody I love. Does that make sense to you? Love, trust. I trust Treva. Even if you saw her at some place where she ought not been, I'm going to trust that she's there for a reason that we don't know. I trust her. We've been married a long time. I have proven ground to be able to trust her. I've only been here 9-10 years, but I know there's a certain element of trust that you have in me. We should really hold that dear with each other and protect that, because that's really precious. Love always hopes. It always hopes there's going to be something good. Something great is going to happen. I hope that that child of mine that made bad decisions is coming back around. I hope that they're going to walk with Jesus. Love always perseveres. Always perseveres. Sometimes it's easy to give up when problems start happening. We just got problem after problem after problem. And sometimes you just want to lay your toys down and go home. But love won't let you. Love makes you stay. You know, I've been in church that went down to the very core. Why? Because I love the church. I love that organization. That place where I worshiped God, I loved it. I wouldn't give up on it. Love never fails. Guys, I promise you, stay in the way of love. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16, he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world." Such a powerful statement. You are the Jesus that people are watching. I remember just the other day we were working out. We don't work out side by side. She's on one machine, I'm on the other. And there a new girl has came and Treva's befriending her. And she started saying, "I was watching you and your husband today." She said, "I can tell you guys are deeply in love. You love each other. You have a good, lots of fun." She said, "I just watched you." She said, "The way you were communicating with your eyes." You never know when someone's watching. What if I was looking at her like, you know what they'd be saying? "What is wrong with that preacher?" Right? You know, the world sometimes has a hard time wrapping their mind around the fact that you call yourself Christ-like. That wasn't in the first sermon. God saved that for you. Do you know what I'm saying? See, people understand what Jesus is all about, and sometimes we're the problem. We are the Christ that they know. And they're saying, "You're not like the Christ in the Bible." That's convicting. He goes on, he says, "There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear." Oh God, give me perfect love. "Fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us." Amen. Anybody says, "I think I need to love more." Maybe you feel like, "I am loving to the extent of what I've got." Sometimes we just need to say, "God, you need to help me love more. I've come to my limit. I need help." You know, a lawyer was in Scripture, and a lawyer came to Jesus, asked him about eternal life, and Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." And he's trying to justify himself, and he says, "What's the greatest commandment?" And Jesus answered him not only in Matthew, but in Mark. And he said, "The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and strength. And he said the second commandment is very similar to it. He said it's love your neighbor like yourself. I feel this. I feel like Christians don't have a problem with the first commandment because we think we've got that one down. But that second commandment just really gives us trouble. See, it's not hard to love God who you do not see and you do not live with. But sometimes it's hard to love that neighbor that I deal with every day. That neighbor who sees, if I see the sky as being bright and blue, sees it purple and gray. They just see everything from a different perspective. Their paradigm has been ran through the dirt. And you know, that's true. You know, there's people that's been so abused in this world that the paradigm that they see life with is afflicted by pain. That was a good statement. Somebody should have wrote that down. Do you understand what I'm saying? But we who have never experienced such pain, we have a hard time understanding that person. And so if we don't understand each other, we want to divide. We want to say, you're wrong and I'm right. You need to get your life right. But I don't understand that her paradigm has been very, very afflicted. She didn't come up with a mama that loved her. Maybe she came up with a mama that attacked her, spoke bad about her. Folks, you know, they say it only takes one person to change someone's life. I believe that person is Jesus Christ, but sometimes it takes a physical person that will just come alongside and say, God loves you. God loves you in your difficulty. God loves you. I know you went through hard things, but God still loves you. The greatest commandment is to love God. Yeah, got it. And the second is to love your neighbor. Why'd you have to add that one? He even talks about it. I know it's easy to say you love me. It's difficult to say you love other people. Not difficult to say it. It's difficult to walk in it. The greatest challenge in the scripture, I believe, is found in Luke chapter 6, verse 35. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. Listen to the last line. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. You know, I literally had to quit watching the news. This is not a testament of my walk with God very well. I had to quit watching the news because those who like are on totally opposite page of me, the more they talk, the madder I get. And I found myself in this place of love, worshiping God, starting my day off with reading the Word, spending time and praying over my 5 C's 3 times a day. And then I watched Fox News for 10 minutes. And I'm like, kill her, God, kill her, God. I found myself praying for the judgment of God. God, strike them down. Put somebody righteous in that office. And then this week, I had to run across Luke 6:35. He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Have you ever thought about the love of God being patient and got mad at God that he was that patient? God, I think it's time you stop your patience and let's start doing some judgment around here. And God will say, shall I start with you? No, that wasn't really who I was thinking about, God. Can we start with somebody else? Aren't you thankful that when you were unthankful and evil, God loved you? You know, God didn't wait for you to clean your life up. God doesn't come to us with a list of do these things and I'll love you. We would. If I was God, the church would be small. And I'm not talking about Bridge of Hope. I'm talking about church worldwide. Aren't you thankful I'm not God? So we got the greatest commandment is to love God and to love each other. The greatest challenge is to love your enemies. And the greatest example is the story of the Good Samaritan. See, there was a man going to Jericho, and the Bible says he fell among thieves. They robbed him of everything and beat him almost to death. And the Bible says a priest came by. This, oh, every time I read this story, I'm thinking it sounds like a joke. A priest, a Levite, and a regular guy walked into a bar one day, and they, you know, I'm like, Jesus is the originator of that. No. Jesus is telling the story. I believe this story is true. I don't think it's a parable. I think it's a story that he actually knew that happened. A priest, a preacher we would call him, saw that guy bleeding and walked to the other side. I'm not getting involved with that. And then a Levite. And this is who the church has a problem with. Who in the world's a Levite? You. You're the Levite. You're in this story, and so am I. See, the Levite was the ones that kept the lights going in the temple. They were the people that were called into the house of God that would do the work of ministry. Right? They did the work of the ministry. What do you do? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 says that God gave five offices of the church. Why? To equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. You. You're the Levite. You know what you did in this story? You did the same thing as your preacher. You saw it. You acted like you didn't see it. And you turned and walked on the other side so you wouldn't be convicted for not helping. And then there was a Samaritan that came by. The Jews didn't think so great of the Samaritans. The Samaritans were what they called half-breeds. They considered them about like a dog. They hated the Samaritans. But see, that old Samaritan, he saw that guy that was bleeding, that was beat up, and that was probably going to die. And he had compassion on him. He loved him. And you know, this is not in the story, but I would almost guess, I would almost bet you, that guy that was bleeding was a Jew. It was somebody that may have crossed on the other side if it had been switched. It was somebody that probably didn't think Samaritans were very good people. And that was not an excuse not to help him. Sometimes the person that's bleeding on the side of the road may be the person that doesn't look like you or the person that you grew up hating. It could be a color. It could be a different nationality. It doesn't matter. Our command is the same. Go and help them. That Samaritan didn't just look at him and pass by. He bandaged him up. He did everything in his power to take care of that guy. And then he put him on his animal, his horse or his donkey. And he carried him into town, took him to the inn, closest thing to the hospital they would have, and said, would you take care of him? And here's some money to take care of him. And when I come back, if I owe you anything, I will pay you. The love of God in action. Do you know there are 42,000 different denominations in the world? I can remember when I was studying that, I thought, it's probably 60, 70, 100. And I read that 42,000 denominations. And I thought, what? How many different kinds of Baptists are there? 40? Do you really think God did that? I understand there's different flavors of ice cream. I get it. Don't you think Satan has worked his way into the church? Where did he work? In our love walk. You know where he's working today? In our love walk. I've watched churches divide over and over and over. I've got a really good friend that pastored the biggest church in Murray. He told me his church almost divided. So over something so silly. We divide over the color carpet. You know how many churches have divided when we started singing songs, courses on the wall? You know, Christians grew up believing that that hymnal was just about as holy as their Bible. It's not. I promise you, it's not. It was written by man, inspired by the Holy Spirit. But the Word of God, every word, every dot of the I, every cross of the T is God. You got it? Not your hymnal. But how many churches back in the 80s had a problem? They started dividing. So some churches, they come up with a great idea. Let's just have two services. We'll have one service where we sing out of the hymnal, and we'll have another service where we'll just sing choruses. We'll please everybody. Let's just be everything to everybody. It'll never work. At some point, we're going to have to choose to love each other, even in our differences. And you know why? You know why marriage is so wonderful? Because it teaches us how to love in conflict. If you think there's not conflict in marriage, you're probably not married. Only single people think that way. Let me rephrase that. Only people who have never been married think that way. Marriage is full of trouble. And that's why God teaches us to love in marriage. God teaches us how to walk in forgiveness, not only in marriage, but in church. Because if we have a church of 200, we have 200 different thoughts. Pretty much on every scripture, we have people that think differently. It's okay to think differently. You know what's not okay? Is when you tell me there's more way to heaven than Jesus. We got a problem. If you tell me that cross doesn't really matter, we got a problem. You see, most everything's we can choose to disagree in. There's a few things I'm not, we're not disagreeing on that. We got to go different ways. And that's what happens. But it ought not be the color of the carpet. There will be things that we always disagree on. I remember a pastor telling me this, and I'm sure you've been told this. Choose the high road. You know what the high road is? I've often thought about that. What's the high road? Can I beat him up on the high road? If he's going to be on the high road and I'm going to be on, can I still beat him up? No, you're missing it. The high road is the road of love. I think that's what the Spirit of God is telling us today on this Valentine's Day. Choose the high road. It could be with your spouse. It could be with your neighbor. It could be with me. Don't let Satan steal from you. Not one more day. Do you realize John 10:10? It's written in sequence. Satan had come to steal. Very first word, steal. Satan wants to steal from you. You know what I think he wants to steal? The number one thing? The Word of God from you. Which is your love walk, which is your joy, which is who you are. Let us not love just in word. Let us love in deed. Let us be the Good Samaritan in Paris, Tennessee. For anyone, everyone, for the guy beaten up, whether he looks like you or he doesn't look like you, doesn't matter. Following Jesus is accepting his love and asking him to forgive you your sins. Stand with me. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that your word corrects us. I thank you, Father, that your word instructs us. God, I feel a little bit like maybe I have ripped the bandage off of a sore today. I feel like maybe there's an exposed, open place on our bodies and our heart that may be a little bit touchy right now. So, God, I don't want to leave people like this. I want to leave people when you, as the Good Samaritan, pour in the oil and the wine, God, you never leave us broken. You always want to heal us. You always fix us. So, Father, right now, Lord, if there's people listening to me, whether on Facebook or in this service, that are feeling a little wounded, maybe a little beat up, I pray that your Spirit would come in and pour in the oil and wine of healing and soothe that sore and give us a new start to a new day. Maybe we have blown it royally. Man, I have really, really messed up. I'm so thankful, Father, that all I see and hear is your forgiveness. I don't hear and see condemnation from you. That's the enemy's voice that wants to kick me in my failure. I'm thankful, Lord, that your hand is extended towards my pit. And he reaches me and he pulls me out of that pit of despair. And he brings healing and life to me. God, I pray that I would know the way of God. I pray that I would know the agape love, not only for myself, but let me walk in that agape love. Lord, let the people that I work with see the agape, the unconditional love of Christ in me. God, when I tell people that I'm a Christian, let them not be surprised. Let them know that they knew something about me was a little different. God, every one of us is a work in progress. Every one of us have a list of failures. I'm so thankful that you outweigh every failure. And when the scales of life are over, all that really counts is that we are your children. Our failures are not held against us. Thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. God, heal us. Heal our hurts. God, I pray right now to the thoughts of man. Lord, there's different people listening to me today, and I know that we had different backgrounds, and there's people that's really been abused in life. And Lord, so often, Lord, their paradigm is to see everything through thoughts of rejection, through thoughts of hurt, through legalism and hatred and prejudice. God, would you change the way we see life? Would you change our hearts and our minds to reflect your thoughts? Isaiah said, God, your thoughts are so much higher than ours. Would you take us to a new level in you, God? Can we get out of this pit that we're walking in and start walking on a new plane that you have called us to? Renew our thoughts. Renew our mind. Forgive us for the times that we've been wrong, for the times that we've been bad, for the times that we've been impatient and unloving. Forgive us. Let the love of Christ show and shine brightly in each one of us today, God. Lord, this is my heart's prayer, not just for me, but for every person in this building. Every person watching us, may they know the love of Christ, and may people see the love of Christ in them. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Raise your hand, receive a blessing from the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Guys, have a great holiday, Valentine's Day. Be careful on the sidewalk, on the streets. You see that massive snow we have? Just be careful driving. You know they say it's coming, so just be careful. God bless you. If you need anything this week, Treva would be glad to get it for you. So, God bless you.